Okay, welcome back everybody to Mishnah Berurah Yomi. Today we are learning Simin Kuf and Simin Kuf Aleph in Hilchos Tefillah. We're going to be talking about davening on Yontif and Rosh Chodesh, as well as having proper Kavanah during Tefillah and also proper enunciation and volume of the voice for Tefillah. So let's begin in the Mechaber Simin Kuf. Tfilo shel moados v'shal roshei chadashim tzarech lahaster tfilo so kodam sheyispalal kedei shdei shegura befiv. One is supposed to organize the davening of Yontif and Rosh Chodesh in advance so that he is well-versed in them. How exactly do you go about organizing and preparing? Says the Eshel Avrami B'Chach, quoted in footnote 1, that even thinking about these tefillos, preparing them in your thoughts, is sufficient. And when you prepare the tefillos, should you say the brachos with even Shem u'Malchus? So the Kaf HaChaim and the Mamre Mordechai say that unless you are going to be the Shliach Tzibur, then you wouldn't use Shem u'Malchus when just preparing the Tfilos. The Ramak qualifies on the Mechaber over here, V'yash Omrim Davka K'shem Yisfalalim Al Peh. Some say that this is Davka when one davens by heart. Ala K'shem Yisfalalim Mitoch HaSidur Mutar. However, if you use a sitter in order to daven, so then you can say these tefillos even without having prepared them. Because you're seeing what you're davening, and that is the common custom. So let's get into this halacha. To what does Rosh Chodesh refer? When the Mechaber says the tefillos of Rosh Chodesh, what is he talking about? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sefalov says as follows, V'shal Roshei Chodashim kina girsa b'kama svarim u'beber agra. This is the girsa in most places. V'rotza lomar tefillas musaf. The Mechaber is referring to the davening of Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. So why is this necessary? Since you only daven them infrequently, so therefore one is not as accustomed to these tefillos, and it requires preparation unless one uses a sitter. Uprimigadim Shema Bachu Prichadash Kosav, Primigadim writes, the Huadin Yalav Yavu de Shacharis, Obime Vichule de Chanako Purim, Gamkin, Tsarech Lahaste Mitchila, Oshi Yisbalamito Chasidr. Just like one would have to prepare the Tfila of Musaf, so too he would have to prepare Yalav Yavu or Alhanisim, unless one davens from a sitter. Uvishir Knesses Hagadola Toma Almenoka Anoshim Shemekilim Bechozeli Hispalba Peve Eno Mesad Mitchila. The Shir Knesses Hagadola expresses wonderment at those who are lenient about this and daven these tefillos by heart and don't prepare them at all. She'inu Odea Masamchu. What are they relying on? Ayin Beshari Chuv. Ulechatchila Bevadei Nochon Yizahir Lehispalba Bechanako Uporim Umoadim Verashi Chadashim Akoponim Tefillah Rishona Mitoch Hasidor Vedai. So says the Mishnah Berurah, all in all, when the dust settles, one should at least daven the first of the tefillos of Chanukah, Purim, Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, daven the first of those tefillos from a sitter, and then that itself is considered like a preparation, and then you would be able to daven going forward, Baal Peh, by heart. Continues the Mishnah Berurah in Se'if Beis. Keshemispalalim al Peh, Kosof Machtes HaShekel, Shelo Kedei Noagin Ha'olam, She'omim Birkas Kiddush Levana Baal Peh, Ve'ino Mesadim Osa Mitchila. Vayin b'shayi tshuva. The Machtes HaShekel says that it's not appropriate, the minhag of some people, to say Kiddush Levana by heart without preparing it in advance. Continues the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Gimel, Mitoch HaSidur. So the Ramah said that if one davens from a sitter, that would be sufficient. However, utfilos upiyutim shacham perusham. When you have certain tfilos or piyutim, where their explanation, their translations and meaning are very difficult, Tzarech lahasdir techila. So then one should prepare them in advance. V'lo mahani sefer b'zeh. And even a sitter would not be sufficient in those cases when you're davening tfilos and pihutim that are very difficult to understand. The Mishnah Berurah Kuf Mem Beis Sevav, quoted in footnote 4, points out that just like one should prepare his davening unless he's davening from a sitter, so too the Baal Koreh must prepare the Kriya Satorah in advance of Kriya Satorah. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Aleph, the halacha of kavana b'chol habrachos and tefila b'chol lashon. So let's get right to it. Says the Mechaber in Sifalot, Hamispalot tzarech sheyechavin b'chol habrachos. When you daven, you should have kavana for all of the brachos. V'im eino yachol lechavin b'chulam. However, if you cannot have kavana for all of them, so then lefachos yechavin b'avos. So you should at least have kavana for the first brachos shmona esrei for avos. V'im lo kivin b'avos. You didn't even have kavana, you didn't have focus and intent on the meaning of the words of Avos, afa pisha kivin b'chol ha'sha'ar, yachzor v'yispal. even if you had kavana for the rest of Shemona Esrei. But if you didn't have kavana for Avos, so then you would have to go back and daven again. The Ramah, however, qualifies v'ha'idna ein chozin b'shvil chesron kavana. Nowadays, we do not repeat Shemona Esrei if you didn't have kavana during Avos. Sha'af b'chazara karavu shelo yechavein. Because even when you go back and during the repetition, who says that you're going to have kavana the second time around? We're not so confident in ourselves that we're going to have kavana the second time around. So imkein lama yachzer, why would you just do it again? Don't repeat the same mistake twice. Do it once, and that's it. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Aleph. For what else should one be sure to have kavana? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Hamispal v'chulei v'yargil adam atmo l'chavina koponim b'chasima shal kol bracha. Even if you're not going to have kavana for every single bracha of Shemona Esrei, you should at least have kavana for the conclusion, for the Baruch Ato Hashem, What's the end of Chonin Das? Chonin Adas. Good. Okay, it's early in the morning for me. Okay, so why is it they have to have kavana for the conclusion of each bracha? So the Bach points out in footnote number one that each conclusion is really a praise. When you say Baruch Ata Hashem Chonin Adas, so what you're doing is praising Hashem for blessing people with wisdom. And therefore, it's more important to have kavana when you praise Hashem than when you express your own requests. The Torah says something a little bit more esoteric, namely that if you take all of the chasimos, all of the conclusions of each bracha together, so they total 613 words. And the letters lamed beis, lev, appear in the Torah 613 times. So this link, it's almost like a gzeir shava, 613, 613, it tells us that we have to invest our lev into the chasimos of the brachos. You have to have a focus and an intent on the chasimos.
What adds up to 613?
If you take all of the words of the Baruch Ata Hashem Chonin Adas, right, of the chasimos, it's going to add up to 613 in Shemona Esrei.
Oh, really?
That's what the Torah writes. So what are we talking about when we say kavana here? What are we referring to? What exactly does kavana mean? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Se'iv Bei Sheyachavin, Hainu Peirush Hamilos. What we're saying is that one should understand the meaning of the words. Alkein ma'nachon ma'od ahamonim shehilmudu Peirush Hamilos shal kol ha'tfila. It's very appropriate for the people to learn the meaning of the words of tefillah. Certainly the words of avos and modim, they definitely should have should understand the meaning of those words. Continues the Mishnah Berurah in Se'iv Gimel. Why is kavana during avos an absolute requirement? Because that is when one expresses praise for Hashem. So then, one should not be thinking about other things while he's expressing that praise. V'yash poskim, there are those who say, such as the Smak and the Sefer Aguda, that the gam modim chashuv ka'avos lechatchila. That lechatchila one should absolutely have kavana for modim. V'im hu mishair she'afilu ba'avos lo yechavin. If you think you're not going to have kavana during avos, so then, lo yispal al klal ad shetisyashiv daito, shiyayuchal akoponim lechavin ba'avos. One should not daven until he calms himself down and he has clear clarity of mind in order to daven and in order to have kavana during avos. The Stipler points out that since there is a dea that one should absolutely have kavana for modim, so if you didn't have kavana during avos, then certainly be extremely careful to have kavana for modim, because that way at least you're fulfilling one of the opinions. What if you can't muster kavana for avos? So the Mishnah Berurah told us to wait to daven until you have clarity of mind. However, Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out that if the Zman Tefillah is going to pass, then you should absolutely daven. Don't let the Zman Tefillah pass just because you're afraid that you won't have kavana for avos. What words of avos are included in this kavana requirement? Is it every single word? So the Stipler says, yes, it's all of them. However, there are others, such as Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who say that it's only the words that are necessary for the essence of the bracha. If you have words that kind of just string other words together, but they don't convey the essence of the bracha, so for those words, the kavana requirement would not be absolute. However, for the words that are necessary for the essence of the bracha, for those, that's when we say that one must absolutely have kavana. So the Rama pointed out that nowadays we don't repeat Shmona Esrei, even if you didn't have kavana for avos. Are there any circumstances in which you would return and repeat Shmona Esrei? So says the Mishnah Brura in Seif Dalid, V'ho'idno v'chulei, kosav ha'chayi odom nirli, kivon de mitzara din tzarech la'achzor l'spalo, since fundamentally one really should daven again, it's just that nowadays we're not so confident in ourselves to have kavana the second time around. So al kolpani mimnizkar kodem sh'omar baruch ato Hashem b'sof bracha, if you remembered that you didn't have kavana for avos before you got the baruch ato Hashem magin Avram, before you concluded the bracha, so then yachzor lomar me'eloke Avram v'chule. You should go back to the words Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and have kavana, because you didn't yet finish the bracha. The Sharatzion in Simen Tzadi Vav, Seif Beis, pointed out in footnote 6, points out another case where you would actually repeat Shmona Esrei, and that is if you daven the first time around while holding on to something. And it's because of that object that you were holding on to that you didn't have kavana. So in that case, we would go back to the Iker Hadin, and you would repeat Shmona Esrei without holding on to the object, because we can attribute your lack of kavana not to your inability to have kavana, but rather to the very thing that was distracting you. Once you get rid of that, so then we're confident that you'll have kavana the second time around. Let's get into the Mechaber, Siv Beis. Let's talk about the proper loudness for tefillah. Lo yispala b'libo levad. On the one hand, one should not daven just in his mind. Ela mechate chadvarim b'sfasav. One must enunciate the words with his lips. U'mashmi'a lo'oznav b'lachash. And he should hear the words while they're still quiet. V'lo yashmi'a kolav. One should not raise his voice, one should not let his voice be heard during Shmona Esrei, but at the same time, one needs to enunciate the words loudly enough that he actually hears them. Does everybody agree that you should hear the words? So the Mishnah Brura in Se'if Hey says as follows, Mashmiya, V'yasha kasvu dotzarech lachol shel divrei ha-zohar, sha'afa chatchila lo yashmiya lo ozno. Some say that according to the Zohar, one should not hear the words at all, and that we should be concerned for the Zohar. However, Avala Magen Avram Kosav She'in Raya Me'a Zohar, the Magen Avram is not so confident that even the Zohar would agree. V'chein Kosav Bevir Hagra Da'afta Asa Zohar Huka Shulchan Aruch. The Gra says that the Zohar agrees with the Shulchan Aruch, that one should hear the words that he says, and that's how we pass in Allah L'maisa. V'chein Kosav Shari Achronim Shetov Yosef D'chatchila She'yashmi'a La'ozna. One should hear the words that he's saying. Uv'diyeve D'chuleyama Imam Rebelachash Kokach Shafidu La'ozna Lo Yashmi'a If you were in a situation where you said the word, you enunciated the words, but you didn't hear them at all, b'diyeved you would be yotze. This sometimes arises if you daven like at a wedding, right? At in the lobby, and there's tons and tons of noise. It's sometimes hard to hear the words that you're saying. You should try to hear the words that you're saying, but b'diyeved if you didn't, you would still be yotze.
You put AirPods, like those noise canceling AirPods, in your ears so you can hear yourself better. Sometimes when you whisper, like
it's an interesting thought. The only counter pressure I would say is that if that's going to be like holding on to an expensive object that you're afraid might fall and then you're going to get lost, so I would say it's not worth it to compromise the kavana because of the fear of the AirPods falling out. But it's a good. What you could do maybe is put your fingers in your ears. Yeah. Okay. So why are we so careful not to let our voice be heard during Shmona Esrei? Says the Mishnah Brura, Tzeva v'lo yashmia dechsev b'tfilas chana rak sfaseha na'os v'kola lo yishamea. The Gemara darshins from the tfila of Chana that Chana moved her lips, however she didn't hear her voice. That's the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. And that's why we say that one should not hear the voice, but still the lips should be moving. To whom is one compared when he raises his voice in tefillah? This is very harsh words. One is of little faith. Why? Because you're suggesting ki'ilu ein ma'amin she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomea tefillas lachash. What you're suggesting is that Hashem only hears you if you daven loudly. But of course Hashem hears you even when you daven softly. And in addition, v'chol hamagbia kolo betfilah, so if you really daven loudly, hariza minevi'e ha-sheker. Shahaya darkon litzok b'kol avodazara shalahen. The nevi'e sheker would scream their nevios to their avodazara. And when we scream our tefillos, we're acting like the Nevi'a Sheker. How quiet should you be? Says the Birka Yosef, the person standing next to you should not be able to hear your words. If it's impossible for you to have kavana, if you're that quiet, so then you should be loud enough for yourself that you could have kavana. However, with one caveat, you have to always make sure that you are not confusing and distracting others when with your voice during davening. Continues the Mishnah Berurah and Seif Zayin. Kolo. So during what parts of tefillah should you refrain from raising your voice? Va'afilu b'psukei dezimra tov shelo laharim kol. The Mishnah Berurah says here that it's best not to raise your voice during psukei dezimra even. Because Hashem hears quiet filos. Not like those who raise their voice too much. I guess it used to be that one person would say Psuke de Zimra on behalf of everybody on Shabbos. So in that case, absolutely that person could say Psuke de Zimra loudly. I did look into this topic a little bit more. In the Piskei Chuvos, in Se'imin Nun Aleph, Sif Chaf, he quotes many opinions who do advise saying Psuke de Zimra out loud, as you know, in with the loudness that you would speak to another person, not screaming it, but with the loudness that you would speak to another person, because that is Ma'orer HaKavana. That helps you be Mechavin to the word. So, although the Mishnah Berurah here does say that it's Tov Shalola Harim Kol, there are many, many opinions that say that it would be totally fine and actually advisable to say the words at least loudly enough that you could, that you would be able to focus. Oh, very good. So are there other parts of davening that we say loudly? The Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Lamed Dalet says that the Hurachum that we say prior to Tachanun, those Tachanunim, so we say those loudly. The Rama disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah says that each place should follow its custom. And the Aruch HaShulchan in Kuf Aleph Ches points out that when we say Tehillim and when we say Slichos, all of those are said loudly as well. What about saying Mashav Ruach Umarid Hageshem or Yalav Yavo loudly in your own Shmona essay in order to remind the Tzibur? So the Bir Halacha and Kuf Yadala, the Chazon Ish, Shlomo Zalman, they all say that it's best to refrain from doing so, that that's not the most appropriate practice. If anybody should do it, it should only be the Shliach Tzibur, not somebody else in the Tzibur. But there are other ways to remind the Tzibur without having to raise one's voice during davening. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, in Se'if Ches, if you're not going to have kavana by davening quietly, muter lehagbia kolo. So then it would be muter to raise your voice. However, v'hani mili beino levein atzmo. That's only when you're davening biyachidos. Avo b'tzibur aser. To do so within the context of a congregation, one should refrain. The asi l'mitrat tzibura, because you're going to come to distract the tzibur. The Mishnah Berurah in Se'if Ches talks about a case where you can't muster intent without raising your voice. So if you can focus when you're quiet, but you won't be able to focus as well as when you're loud, which one is better? Should you dive in loudly or quietly? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sef Ches, Belachash Hataskos of the Afim Yachol Lechavin, Belachash of a local Kach Kemo Bekol. You can have some Kavana while quiet, but a lot of Kavana with a raised voice. Mikre inu yachol lachavin v'yachol ispal biyachid b'kol. Says the Taz that b'yachidus, that would be somebody who would need his voice in order to daven, and he could raise his voice. However, v'ayin b'vir halacha shakasamnu de'in lohakab b'zeh. The Vir halacha disagrees and says that if you can have even a little bit of kavana while quiet, then it's better to go that route. Continues the Mishnah Berurah, Siftes, la'agbiya kolo, v'ayri da'afilu im yashmiya kolo b'miktas gam kin lo yuchal lachavin di'lav hachi aser. What we're talking about here is that, again, to raise your voice in a great way, in a great manner, to a high degree, that would be mutter only if doing so partially was not sufficient. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying here in Se'if Tes. B'tzibur asur, in all contexts in the congregation, it's going to be asur to raise the voice. Afilu l'ashmiya kolo b'mikta, says the Mishnah Berurah, even to do so partially, v'chol shakin l'hagbiya kolo. Kol shakin, not to do so entirely. The Ramah ends off Seif Beis by telling us, v'imashmiya kolo b'veso k'shemispala, k'dei sh'yilmedu mimenu b'nei veso muter. If you're raising your voice during davening at home because you want other people around in the house to learn from your davening, that would be another case where it was mutter. Again, if you're davening b'yechidus, that's another exception to the rule. Have a great day, everybody.